I'm sure that you would agree with me that we live in a world that seeks to heavily influence our thinking, our morals, and our beliefs at every turn. Whether it be through advertising, through the shows that we watch on TV, through the conversations that we might have with our peers, to the things that we might surf on the internet, there are things that seek to heavily influence us. The influences that we encounter on any given day has the potential to impact our lives, probably more than we care to admit. From the way we think about ourselves, to the decisions that we make, to what we believe and hold dear to ourselves. All around us, we have people telling us to succeed, how to succeed and make the most of our lives. We have others telling us that possessions, relationships, money will make you happy. Where what the Bible says is sin, the world promotes as being fine and normal because everyone else is doing it. A world where we're constantly under the microscope and judged for the decisions we make. And that's before we take into account the things that happen in this world as well. The wars, the discord, the jealousy, disease, broken homes, murder, and the abuse that we see all around us. As much as the world may seek to say otherwise, worldly influences are not harmless. Just because everyone else is doing it, agreeing with it, swear by it, doesn't make it right for you and for me. Going along with the crowd won't bring you the fulfillment that you crave. The fulfillment that this world craves is not found in worldly things. The truth is, and I'm sure you don't need reminding of this particularly, but we are at war. We're not against war against the flesh and blood or the world and the influences per se, but we are against the spiritual powers and in war against this, the powers of this dark world. The war we face is that for our souls. God has created every person in this place with a soul. The place where the real you is revealed, your character and your personality is made. The place where you are designed to be connected with the living God. Now, our enemy, the devil, uses worldly influences to blind people to the truth of God. And what's more, to destroy a believer's relationship with him. Listen to what 1 Peter 5 verse 8 tells us. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The enemy's attacks can come through a myriad of different avenues. Through your eyes, what you see. Through your words, what you say. Through your ears, what you hear, or your thoughts, what you think about. Whenever an attack comes, there are two things that will happen. Either we'll be influenced by what we encounter through those things, through the eyes, through the ears, through the mouth. We'll accept it and it will begin to chip away at our soul. Or we stand and fight against it in the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to stand and fight. He doesn't want us to run away. Proverbs 4 verse 23, as we've mentioned in the last few weeks, says these words. Above all else, so above everything else that you do, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from your heart. Everything we see, everything we hear, everything we think about, and in certain circumstances we'll speak about or act upon has an impact on how we live our lives. Whether that be consciously, we know we're doing it, or whether it is subconsciously. This is not then something that we can ignore and hope it doesn't affect us. This is of significance, not just for the here and now, but will resonate into eternity. Because your spirit, when the body is dead, when our days are numbered and gone here, your spirit will go to be to the afterlife, and you will either go to be with Jesus and spend eternity with him, or if we don't know Jesus, hell is a real truth that will happen for all who haven't accepted Jesus. So we need to be aware of what we're up against. We need to fight against it, and at key moments we need to undertake what we call a soul detox, as it is behind me on screen. So at the beginning of January, at the start of a new year, we started a 4-part series called Soul Detox, with the intention to understand the importance of guarding our souls against the enemy's attacks, but also, when required, learn how to get rid of those toxic influences so that we can keep our relationships with God healthy. We want a healthy, I don't know about you, but I want a healthy relationship with God. Now, we've looked at, in the last few weeks, we've looked at 4 key components. In the first week, we looked at our eyes. In week 2, we looked at the power of our words. Last week, we looked at our mind. And if you've missed any of those talks and you want to catch up, they're all online on our website. You can hear and catch back up on, because each one of these components are really key. Because you could be failing, you could be doing well in two of the areas, or 3 of the areas, and failing one and failing totally. We need to understand, and we need to fight and know how to protect our souls. This week, in our final message of the series, we're looking at our actions. And I've kind of subtitled it, Where Everything Leads. So what happens with your eyes, what happens with your ears, what happens with your words, everything leads eventually to action. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Luke 6, verse 45. Luke 6, verse 45. And it's not Luke 6, verse 45. I'll tell you what it is. It is actually Mark 6, verse 45. Typo. Mark 6, verse 45. Always honestly, this is me going, right, where is it now? Right, let me just check. Let me double check this. Oh, it is. Sorry. I was looking at the wrong verse entirely. It was Luke 6, verse 45 after all. Sorry about that. Just keeping you on your toes, everybody. Just keeping you on your toes. Always check, and always check you're looking at the right verse. It's a good way of going. Right, Luke 6, verse 45 says this. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Let me read that again. It's well-known verses that Jesus spoke. He said, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. May God bless his word to us as we use that and other scriptures to just unpack this final bit of our soul detox series. The dictionary defines our actions in this way. An action is a thing that is done and not merely thought or spoken. So it's a doing thing. It's not a thinking thing. It's not a thought thing. It is a doing thing. Now, actions are something that we're all accustomed to, I'm sure. Every day there are actions that we undertake. Some of the actions will be obvious as breathing. For example, when we wake up in the morning, we need to physically get ourselves out of bed. That is an action. Otherwise, you'd still be there right now. We need to choose to get dressed. to perhaps eat our breakfast, to travel. Today we'd be travelling to church, perhaps tomorrow we'd be travelling to our place of work. And then to carry out those tasks of our given job that we have. Other actions we choose to take will be as a result of something that perhaps we've experienced and we make a choice to respond to. Sometimes those actions are good and proper and right. Someone says something nice to us, we act accordingly and we want to respond in kind. That's a good thing, a good action. On other occasions, those responses may be a little bit more negative, perhaps even wrong. Someone cuts you up while you're driving and you decide to give them a piece of your mind. That's a different kind of action. Perhaps not the right action. What's important for us to realise is that the way we act is not just a moment of madness, but is directly impacted by the health of your soul. In the last few weeks, we've seen that what we look at, the words that we use, and what we think will eventually come out in our actions. Jesus' words from our key reading we've just read are really clear. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Often when we make negative or wrong actions, generally it's not the result of the spur of the moment thing, but rather it's a build-up of a series of other events or things that we've gained. Influences that have ultimately led you to that place. And before you know it, we do something that most of us instantly regret. The truth is, every action that we take conveys the state of our souls. If we're allowing the influences of the world through our eyes, ears and mind, bit by bit, it will chip away at our soul until we eventually become disconnected from our relationship with God. I'm drawn to a story this morning that we're going to look at for a few moments. I'm drawn to the story of a scripture that says of a man who ran after God's own heart. You might already know who that person is that I'm referring to. But it's someone who allowed his eyes and his authority to rule over what he knew to be right before God. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to 5. Listen to these words. Well, you might want to look it up, whatever you want to do. But it says these words. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Jehoboth with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed, walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. Now she is purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." I believe this morning there are three things wrong with this episode that we read from this narrative that we can learn from when it comes to how we act. The first one is this: putting ourselves in an unsafe position. Are we, or have we, put ourselves in an unsafe position? David, King David, should have been out with his men. Kings always went to war to lead from the front. But what do we find David in this scripture we just read? We find that he's at home. We find that he's decided to send off his second in command and just stay where he is. He's not where he meant to be. He's at home. But here's David on his balcony, overseeing his kingdom, and at that moment, he sees Bathsheba. If he'd been in the right place, he wouldn't have even had a chance to see her. But he was in the wrong place. How many times as believers do we put ourselves in a place of danger when we've had no right being there? Staying up late at night to surf the internet. Being out when we'd be better off at home. Picking up that phone to tell someone what you think of them when you're too angry to have thought it through rationally. Being jealous of your friend's latest technology purchase and finding yourself in a shop even though you don't have the finances to buy it. By putting ourselves in that position, we're asking for trouble. If we put ourselves in unsafe positions, there's a chance that we might do something in our actions that we regret. Secondly, David didn't walk away. How many times do we not walk away when we should have walked away? David shouldn't have been on the balcony. We already have established that. But when he saw the woman, he could have walked away. And instead, he asked one of his servants to find out about her. And he opened the door. He opened the door to be ready to step through. Now, let me say something that's really clearly. Being tempted is not wrong. Why do I know being tempted is not wrong? Because Jesus himself was tempted in the desert in Matthew 4. You see, being tempted is not wrong, but how we respond is really important. How do you respond at the moment of temptation? Jesus was tempted in every way, as we see in the desert when the devil came to tempt him, but he stood on God's truth and he didn't give in. And Hebrews 4 verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet is without sin." As we mentioned in the last few weeks, there will be things that get through our defenses to try and influence us. But we have a choice to how we will respond. Will we dwell and will we linger on those moments? And perhaps then kind of respond to that and have an action? Or will we cut it off at the source? Will we chuck it away? Will we chuck it out before it has a chance to take root? David took a step towards danger instead of walking away. And it would end up costing him a lot of stuff. It did end up costing him a lot. We need to be reminded, sometimes when we act, even if we feel something is justified, or if we act because we're tempted and we go through with it, it has consequences. Consequences that we have to live with. See, the third thing that we can learn from this little narrative from David is this, is that he let his flesh win the day. He let his flesh win the day. When David heard what the messenger said and found out Bathsheba was married, that should have been it. Sense should have prevailed. But he allowed his flesh to take over, and instead he sends his messenger to bring her to him, and they slept together, and then she became pregnant. When we allow the things of the world and our flesh control over the decisions we make and the actions that follow, it will end in trouble. It will end in trouble. Interestingly, even up to the moment Bathsheba arrived at his doorstep, God had given David a way out. She's married, run a mile. Don't do this. But David decided to ignore his servant's message because he allowed his flesh to win the day. "I'll have a bit of that," he said. "Nobody's going to know. What's it we marry anyway?
I'm the king, I can do what I want.
God always gives us a way of escape. It's really important that you realise this. Because sometimes in the midst of a temptation, we think like, that's it, so I might as well just go through with it. But listen to what 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says. You might want to metaphorically tattoo this message upon your mind. Because it will be worth it. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. The question that will always be asked and we need to answer is this. Will we heed the warnings of God before we act? Will you heed God's warnings to you in whatever area that might be? See, David was a king who had everything at his command. He told somebody to do something and they do it, they jump to it. If they didn't, they'd be in trouble. He asked for things and it was done. He could have whatever he wanted. We'll never know, but perhaps the influences of the world and the role and his role as king, his powers and his riches that had come with it, perhaps it began to chip away at his soul, dulling that once close connection he had with God. Perhaps listening to what his royal subjects were saying, you're the man, you're the man, you can do what you want. Don't worry about what God's saying, just live for the moment. You know, perhaps it's like, you know, believing the hype. And then he found himself in the position he did, but it didn't start with him just suddenly sleeping with Bathsheba. It started bit by bit by bit. It started with him being there when he shouldn't have been, being in the wrong place. See, the truth is, if it happened to David, a man that scripture says ran after God's own heart, it can happen to any one of us. Maybe not exactly in the same context as what happened with David, though it might. Let's not assume that those kind of things don't happen. They do. But the encouragement to give into our flesh is a daily battle in whatever area, and it'll be different for everybody. And it affects all areas of our lives. Whether that be how we treat our family and friends, how we use our money, lust, judging, drunkenness, anger, jealousy, gossip, slander, lies to get what you want. Our actions eventually go down this slippery slope if we don't learn to protect our hearts, to protect our souls. Are you with me? It's so important. This is such an important lesson we need to learn. See, David's actions didn't stop there. And this is the thing, that when we do one thing and we give in to something, it snowballs. Listen to what happened to David. It ended up getting him deeper and deeper into trouble. And that's what actions influenced by sin do. It gets us deeper and deeper into trouble. First of all, it was an unplanned pregnancy. That's bad enough. But then he lies to get husband Uriah back from war, gets him drunk so she would try and sleep with Bathsheba to cover up his own tracks. To top it all, he then becomes an accessory to murder by putting her husband on the front line, getting rid so that it's not seen, so that he can pretend that actually it's not him at all. Man, going from one look all the way through to murdering somebody and getting someone pregnant all at the same time, that's a mess. That's a mess. The good news is God sorts us out in our messes. But the reality is there is a mess and there's consequences if we choose the wrong kind of actions. Once the dust settled, David was then faced with the consequences of his actions. He was taken to task by Nathan, a prophet. God's prophet. His actions were exposed. And as a result, 2 Samuel 12, verse 10, 11 tells us that David's household was divided permanently. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says: one of your household, I'm going to bring out of your own household, I'm going to bring calamity on you. That was a prophetic word that Nathan spoke over David. What happened? His household was divided. Even Absalom, his son, betrayed him, drove David out for a period off his own throne, his own son, until God dealt with David, brought him back properly to himself. All of this because he allowed the influence of his world and his own nature, sinful nature, to impact his soul. And out of that motive, out of that feeling, he acted. Let's remind ourselves once again of the words from our key reading from Luke 6, verse 45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You and my actions, our actions matter to God. Actions are not just something that happen, but they are a result of what we allow into our souls. The Bible has a few things to say about our actions. Don't just take my word for it. This is what the Bible says. 1 John 3:18, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God has forgiven you. James 4:17, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Our actions can either bring life and peace, or they'll bring negativity, evil and potential sin. I know what I'd rather choose. I love these words from Psalm 34, verse 14. So simple words, but ever so challenging. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I'm sure you don't need reminding, but I'm going to remind you anyway. Our life is no longer our own. Galatians 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live in the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I wonder this morning, how do your actions reflect the state of your soul? How do your actions reflect the state of your soul? Are you spreading life and peace amongst your family, friends and community? Or are you reaping the result of a life that's been influenced by the lies of the enemy and the desires of our old sinful nature? Has anger overtaken us? Has possessions consumed us? Has the thirst for influence eaten away at our souls? Our actions are the outworking of what is happening on the inside. There can be no denying or pretending that it's something else. Through our actions, the truth is told. As we said right at the beginning of the series and right the way through, our soul is the thing that we need to protect above all else. It's the place where we connect with God. It's the place where damage can be done. Don't allow the enemy to tell you any different. Don't give him a foothold in your soul, whether it be through your eyes, your words, your mind, your ears. As Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. At the start of 2024, perhaps it's time that you did some business with God. Be honest with him about our weaknesses and ask him to purge those influences in our lives that perhaps are causing actions that are hurting ourselves, hurting others, and most importantly, perhaps even hurt in our relationship with God. But let me say something to you right now, that if you find yourself in a position where your soul's not in the place it should be, there's hope. It's not the end of the road. It wasn't the end of the road for David. It doesn't have to be the end of the road either for you. It's never too late to set yourself straight, to give yourself a soul detox and turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So what I want to do is, because this is a culmination of what we've done over the last 3-4 weeks. I was just thinking about this yesterday, and when I was preparing, I was like, I think I need to do something as a response to this. And since God was saying to me, you need to do something. And so what I'm going to do is, I'm not going to prolong anything, but I want to give opportunity for anybody perhaps who's been impacted by today, or impacted by any of the other 3 weeks that they've heard, to give a chance to respond to God. And this is not a response to me. It's not a response to my preaching. This is a response to what God is doing in you. And if you feel like you need to, would value some prayer to start yourself on the process of perhaps in detoxing, taking out those influences in the world that you know have been causing you trouble, then I want you to, as a sign of declaration this morning, I want to encourage you to come down to the front as a sign for you to say, God, this is who I am. This is what is happening in me. This is what I need to sort. Is setting our souls out correct? It may be that you've not even been in that place where you've actually gone through with anything, but you're teetering on the edge. Today is an opportunity for you to step forward and say, God, I don't want to go down that path. Could be for any number of reasons. It doesn't necessarily be, as I said, not necessarily anything to do with what happened with David, but the principles are the same. The principles are the same. Don't put yourself in a position where you find yourself somewhere where you shouldn't be. Don't say it doesn't matter and just hang around. Walk away. Walk away.